love to call you back just as soon as I can. Thank you again for calling, and I'll talk to you soon.
The mailbox is full and cannot accept any messages at this time. Goodbye.
Well, greetings. The automatically deleted husband, obviously automatically deleted for what I'm concerned maybe an unfortunate reason, but I'm sure you'll be excited. I got a postcard in the mail. This was to Julia, Charlotte, and James. I so much want to give you a hug. Shall we meet on an upcoming Sunday? Love, Dad, Granddad. This is when there was some dialogue, but of course, Julia has simply stopped the dialogue. But a second postcard. This one to Susanna. Did you ever get the medal from the 5K race? Love, Dad. You know, I haven't heard. Why haven't I heard? I wonder about that. You know, I got to link that video on that because that the video on that when I described that, yeah, it long, gee, but because there's a moment in there when I described a little bit of my history, and then I went and talked about the race and so forth, and I held up the T-shirt. Run for their freedom. And I was ready to lose it. Because, I don't know, taking this stuff seriously. But, oh, a third postcard. Look, it said, to the mom of my kids, very bold, happy Mother's Day. I love you, I love you, I love you, you're a man. Oh, that must be hate speech. But be of good cheer. A fourth card, also to my wife. 33 years of being one flesh with you. The Lord has blessed me. Proverbs 18:22. I love you, I love you, I love you, your man. It's the he who finds a wife finds a good thing has received favor from the Lord, or however it's stated that. Proverbs 18:22. But anyway, lots of stuff. So I mentioned I have to avoid going in some other areas, but let me go into a couple of other areas, but only briefly because it sets the stage. I'll leave you three videos. One is from Gray Zone. I've mentioned they're leftists, but I have a lot of respect for them because they're rational, and they've said a whole lot of things that a lot of the stuff they promote I'm wholeheartedly on board with. Except obviously, but anyway. I won't go into that. But they had one. The Gray Zone debates National Endowment for Democracy VP on group's CIA ties. And I thought it was interesting because it's the audio of a telephone conversation because she reached out to them because of the things that they were saying about the National Endowment for Democracy. In other words, it's an organization with nice look, lots of funding and whatnot, and we go to overthrow countries. But so that's it's an interesting dialogue because what I wonder, to what degree who people who work with those organizations are actually believing that they're doing a good thing. Because again, this is what I believe is true in the military, in the medical field, and so forth, and in the institutional church. People believe they're doing a good thing. And if somebody questions them, they're the whistleblower and you gotta get rid of them because you don't want to question that. But it kind of related, two stories from RT. And I'm wondering, I do think there's timing on this. I think these news articles are coming out on purpose. One is called Palestinian Family Locked Inside Villa Compound Needs Israeli Permit to Leave. One of the things that the Israeli government has gone and slowly but surely gone to the Palestinian land and go to the landowners and say, I'm sorry, this is ours now, and we're going to evict you. The walls, internal walls that they put up, I mean, they're huge. I mean, as I've pointed out before, it makes the Berlin Wall that we, used to be such a big deal, look minor. This is huge. The walls that they have that divide, for example, the Gaza Strip, that's really huge in size. Tall, a lot of it is either barbed wire fence or a sheer wall, then within Jerusalem, the West Bank area, and so forth, serious walls. What they did, because this is not unique. I've seen other places like this, or similar to this, where slowly but surely people are crowded out, but because they've been there, they fence around them. So in this particular case, here's a family that has the neighboring property was seized official Israelis have taken over the land and built houses and so forth, and a wall is put around their fence, and they are not allowed to leave their property without permission, and they have a gate on their property that is monitored. And they can be arrested for leaving without permission, their own home. So, you know, because Israel is often described as an apartheid state. There are two classes of citizens. And so this was an interesting, well-done report. I do think the woman who does her and there's another woman. But anyway, two women who were doing a bunch of news reports in Israel lately from RT, and they're not making the country of Israel look good. There's another one, China ready to broker peace talks between Palestine and Israel. And this is what I find fascinating, because again, I grabbed this one story because it was today, but this one about the China, which was a few days ago, I really think is significant, because what you see happening, there is the Israel-Palestine tension that's been going on, obviously, for about 70 years. And there's a whole lot of distortion of that, because there's the dispensationalists who will say, oh, well, of course, you know. Anyway, so there's the what I would say twisted theology that's there. But that's one issue. But the other issue is China is now coming to the table to negotiate between Israel and Palestine. You know, they've had a lot of successes lately, you know, between Iran and Saudi Arabia, and they're talking with Ukraine and Russia, because obviously they have strong ties with Russia. They're doing other things like that. They're becoming the peace brokers. So the U.S. is the warmonger. We're here to take over, and if you know, you submit to us, because otherwise you're bad. China is trying to offer peace, and what that does is because China economically is becoming dominant in the world in so many ways. Militarily, you know, again, I go back to the, and I need to put that, there was the three videos done, the China recruitment ad, the Russia recruitment ad, and the American recruitment ad. You know, China and Russia were strong men. Russian was a fluffy woman. You know, it's kind of like, we protest, aren't we? You know, this is a safe America. And of course, as I point out, the same thing is true with like the intelligence community. Their recruitment ads are looking for people of politically correct. I mean, directly. You know, if you fit a particular characteristic, not that you're qualified, you have a particular characteristic, you know, you're female. You know, it used to, you know, it was back in the 1980s. I used to say that if you were a, what was it? Something like a black female in a wheelchair, something of that nature, that, you know, you're fully qualified for whatever, because you hit all the boxes that were popular at the time. Now you have to be, you know, homosexual, it was a Spanish speaking black female in a wheelchair. That's what I used to say. But now you have to you have to be, you know, homosexual, transsexual. You have to be you have to have pink hair. You have to have part of your body has to be mutilated. You're the right person for the job. And that's what it's one thing to do that for let's say the unskilled labor. But when you put that into, this is what we want for the intelligence community, for the State Department, and things of that nature, your country's going to collapse. And may I suggest, our country's going to collapse. But anyway, so what I see in that China stepping up to the stage is they're doing it economically. Their military is probably a whole lot stronger than ours. And now, of course, on the political stage, you know, Russia is doing extremely well in Africa, and so is China. The U.S. is kind of like, get the bums out, is the attitude of so many. You know, I mentioned the thing about Uganda outlawing homosexuality, it was Biden who came out with a statement saying, we got to impose sanctions. You know, sanction is an act of war. And, you know, Russia especially, hey, this is great. We're totally on board with you. I don't know where China stands quite as much on that. But anyway, so we're falling apart. And that concerns me. And then that you have that gray zone interview. People within the government, they refuse to answer questions. I mean, this is the bottom line. And, you know, so we don't have a rational group of people, you know, because a lot of commentators will say what's happened is it's the lunatics running the asylum. The people of decades ago who had, understood, you know, the history of their field, you know, with State Department or what particular countries they were doing. No, now they're political appointees, and it's a bunch of incompetent people who've risen to the top. And so the world looks at us as lunatics. Again, it's the comparison between Lavrov, the foreign secretary of Russia, compared to Anthony Blinken, our secretary of state. It's kind of like a rational human being and a dweeb. So dealing with the state is becoming a real problem. So on that, I will leave you the link. I sent an email to the state today. Again, this is my appeal to Caesar. That has been going on for ages, because obviously, you know, because they sent me this document. Oh, I still have it right here. This document for me to sign, and I read it, and two things pushed me over the edge, saying no, I can't sign this, and I explained that in the email. You know, one is all future child support payments be paid by income assignment. What does that mean? Income assignment. My assumption is that is garnishing your wages. And I pointed out, well, since I'm unemployed, that's academic. But it's giving them power over me. And obviously, I'm not going to sign this because I'm not going to request that. But the other thing is that the respondent's license may be suspended or revoked. That's talking about my wife. I'm not my wife's enemy. I do not want to sign a document that would threaten my wife with that. Not a chance. You know, again, I would say it's consistent with my request that I've mentioned to put the weight of her sin on me. I do ask that continually to the Lord. I'm not after revenge. I love that lady. And to whatever degree, the weight of the sin, of her sin in this life that she pays for, you know, it's not the salvation thing. For whatever part that I can take, I'll take. Because I love that lady. And I would suggest it's consistent with husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the assembly. I'm just going to be picky on that, use assembly. But, and just real quick, because there's something really important. Yesterday I did took a hike. I went to Publix because, you know, man needs his bananas. But I went a different route, and in that route, I went by. Well, did I mention this yesterday? I went by this church that had a sign up there saying we're having a party next week on Saturday. Free, come join us. And I put it in my calendar because I planned to go. And I had a delightful dialogue because I engaged Chris on this today because I wanted to make sure that I'm not doing wrong here. Because as I contend, especially what happened during the time of Constantine, the assembly, that meet at people's homes. So you see that four times Paul greets people that, churches or assemblies that meet at somebody's home, was institutionalized by Constantine, and that became the model. We saw the model in the Roman Catholic Church, and when the Protestant Reformation in the 1500s, we kept that part of the model. So, in so many respects, the Roman Catholic Church and the Protestant Church are in lockstep. You cannot do what you see, for example, the thing I point out, Acts 17. Because we read that today. In Acts 17, now when they had passed through the Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where there was a synagogue with a synagogue of Jews. And Paul went in, as his custom, on the Sabbath days to reason with them from the scriptures, explaining, proving it was necessary for Christ to suffer and so forth. Anyway, that first part of, but he went into the synagogues. And as I've pointed out, synagogue is not a Jewish specific gathering. That is not, synagoge, the Greek, does not mean Jewish. Again, the easiest way to see that, James 2:2, because of that, that's synagoge, and it's talking about a Christian assembly. And the thing that I so enjoy, the Septuagint, Genesis 1, the Lord, synago, gathered the waters, and the waters were gathered, they were a synagoge. So again, it's I just find that humorous. So before the creation of the plants and animals and whatnot, he had a gathering of Jews. You believe that? Anyway. I just find that fascinating. So the question is, I need to go there. I have got to go there. But I have to go there again. It's because what was the next thing that was discussed? Because it's a really big deal with me. Is it's 1 Corinthians 11:16. If anyone is inclined to be contentious, we have no such practice, nor do the churches of God. Contentious, the philonikos, to triumph over a friend. We have no such practice. My objective is not to go to win an argument. But, you know, one of the things that I find so important about this, what does this lead into? What are the next verses about the Lord's Supper? Yeah, and as I pointed out, especially like in the PCA, the first few verses about that, typically on the Communion Sunday morning, are ignored. But instead, they start from verse 23, "For I received from the Lord, but I also deliver to you that the Lord... Jesus, on the night he was betrayed and took bread, and when he had given thanks, broke it and said, 'This is my body, from which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" You know, it's that, and a few more verses. That's what's read as, okay, now we're having a communion service. But you missed the context before, and I would suggest the context before, suggest, at least, I would say firmly suggest, it's a meal, it's not a wafer. The wafer is simply the vestiges of the Roman Catholic host. So we get rid of transubstantiation, but we keep the wafer. I would contend that's what's happening. But that's another issue. Perhaps the most important thing of the day. I got an email. This email was kind of like, wow. Let me emphasize. A serious wow. It was from my son Jack. And I get out of bed in the morning, do my normal things, obviously including jumping jacks, and when The jumping jacks are done. I turn on the monitors to record the jumping jacks, and then I check email that came in overnight. That's you know, the fairly norm. And then, of course, the smoothie, the kefir. It's kefir. Or kefir, if you prefer. But I get an email, and I looked at it, and it's kind of like, wow. Because I haven't had an email from Jack in 2 years. He says, do you have this photo? Do you have the picture of me holding the green snake in Lexington? And I have a vague recollection of that. I wasn't able to pull it up immediately. Because I have a lot of photos. So I did respond, that sounds familiar. Do you have an approximate year? Was it while we were on Old 64 Jerusalem Road? Let me know, as I have a whole lot of photos to look through. And close with, I love you, Jack. Because I want to make sure that stays on the table. But see, the issue is, for the last 2 weeks, my emails to Jack have bounced. The email account has been showed as full. So my guess is he uses a different email account, but he has kept that and hasn't closed it off. And so when he wanted to contact me, he simply used that to send an email, perhaps even unaware of the fact, because he doesn't use the account, that he's not receiving emails. So when I responded to him, it bounced. So that's an interesting predicament. My son reached out to me, and I reached back, and I'm censored by him. So, what do I do? Obviously, I could use a different email account. I don't know. I'm not sure what to do. One of the things, my postcard today was to him. So my guess is that it'll take, you know, the earliest would be there is tomorrow, and I'm skeptical it'll be there tomorrow. It'll probably be there the following day, at least. But he may find out that I did respond, because right now he may think he's not responding to me. I don't know. So I don't know what's going on, but I think I might use the time to do a more intense search for the photo, see if I can find it. Because I spent some time, anyway, I don't know if I spent any time on the right things. It's been a problem. But that's my son, Jack. Why did he send that email? A photo about a snake. Because my recollection, because I did find a photo of him holding a frog. Because, you know, Jack was more inclined to do things like that as a young guy. So, why did he do that? Is there something in his life that the photo of the snake would be useful, helpful, a fond reminder of, or something of that nature? Is it something like that? That's a real possibility. So getting that. But then, of course, it has to be enough of a possibility for him to cross that threshold of saying, I'm not going to communicate with my dad. Because the emails I had from them, the last emails, was 2 years ago. And let's say they were less than kind. I would suggest my responses to him were kind, were inviting, were loving. But the responses from him was of a less than polite tone. But he's my son, and I love my son. So is it because of some other circumstance? You know, and obviously I can say this quite openly, because the odds of anyone in my family seeing this is pretty small. But is he reaching out because there's something else? You know, it could be a variety of things. And he's using the snake as the snake photo as a way to, let's start a conversation, please. That's a possibility too. It could be for a variety of things. Economic is obvious. It could be a health issue. It could be something related to his lifestyle. Because it's quite clear that people of his lifestyle, specifically homosexuality, tend to have short-lived relationships. Long-term relationships, especially long-term monogamous relationships, are virtually unheard of. So there's that possibility. So I will be, you know, I'll lay it on the table. If it's related to that, as I've stated before, you know, I've gone in some depth because I've done, you know, I've done a lot of the stuff, and I maybe it's got to do, you know, check the updates on this now. The movie, 1946, the movie, which is trying to say that arsenikoite, which you see in places like 1 Corinthians 6, does not mean what it, you know, it was translated by, you know, apparently the first translation that used the term homosexual was the RSV in 1946. And, you know, and so they're saying, well, this is a mistranslation. But of course, what is older, you know, sodomite, things of that nature. And it, the rationale is confusing. I followed this stuff, and these, it's irrational, the arguments they make. And it concerns me because, well, there are two possibilities, you know, because again, I do not shy away from 1 Corinthians 6, 9 and 10. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. This is a direct condemnation. As I pointed out, men who practice homosexuality, you'll find that with the ESV is combined two words into one. Other translations, you'll see homosexual and effeminate, or things of that nature, or sodomite and things. But it's malakos and arsenikoite. Arsenikoite is men who bet other men. Malakos is soft. Specifically meaning the man who performs the woman's role in a homosexual sex act. I mean, again, as I've described, the Bible is a dirty book. Many places, and this is one of them. But as I hold on firmly, the next verse, and such were some of you, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ by the Spirit of our God. God doesn't, not you. God doesn't, not you. That's really important. And such were some of you. It is indeed past tense, as I have verified that, and so it's past tense. In other words, you've repented. So my son Jack may be, for some other reason, completely oblivious to these things, reached out about this photo. It may be that his life has issues, and he's reaching out. Maybe he's at the door of repentance. Maybe he even has. But now he needs an ally. I'll do it. I'll do it. Me. Choose me. Pick me. I'll do it. That's my son. I'll do it. Beyond question. Without hesitation. Wherever I can work with Jack, if this email is somehow well into or just the beginning of Jack's repentance, I'm all in to do whatever I can to help him along the way. He's my son. You know, one of the reasons I mentioned the things that are happening in Israel and the China connections and things of that nature is the distortion, especially about the country of Israel, is huge. As I mentioned previously, Lindsey Graham, I think it's Lindsey Graham, who's called the senator from Jerusalem or the senator from Israel, whatever it is, because it's really a distorted mindset. And the, you know, when I see this woman, because I listened to that I gave you the link and I listened to it. And is this woman naive, deceived, or a deceiver? I don't know. You know, of course, I can't really judge the heart. That's the Lord alone. But that's the culture we live in. That's the American way. But there's those that are plucked out. It's just like what perhaps I can be a part of a week from Saturday at this local church. Perhaps it's just, hi. But at the same time, those people are just people I don't know. Somebody I do know, you know, a Miss Lillian, who I haven't seen in a while. But, you know, will I bend over backwards for her? Yes, I will, because I have a relationship. My plan is to go tomorrow to the farmer's market. I really don't need any food, but I'm going to go there anyway. One, for the exercise, but two, because of Rick, the gentleman who's there. Because he's a human being created in the image of God. He's not a follower of Christ. He and I discuss this, but he's a friend, and I'm going to be there. Or that's I'll make the effort to be there. Because I have to. Because I'm a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. But because, again, these are people I have a relationship with. There are others. And tomorrow is June 1st, the official opening day for the farmer's market. And there's question whether or not it'll happen. It may be delayed a week or two because, again, this is a government agency that does this. So they don't care. And that's the issue. When it comes to the people, I care. Why? Again, because I'm a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. When it comes to trying to reconcile my own family, you know, again, it's the email I wrote. Well, you know, I close with, but because of point 4 and 7, that, you know, about the basically seizing my paycheck and suspending my wife's license. No, I do not think it's wise to sign the document as received. I do not know which individual or group should be addressed to resolve this. Again, you know, dealing with the state, who? But there remains the glaring fundamental issue that has not been mentioned by anyone but me. Are my kids alive? Let me read that again. I don't have to read it. I know it. Are my kids alive? If I had to pay my wife to support our kids, I respectfully request proof of life. My suggestion is a good way to validate that my kids are alive to simply follow the document my wife signed on October 30, 2012. And the link is there, such as allowing this dad unimpeded telephone conversations, which has not occurred since 2016, or being able to send mail to the child, which the other parent shall not open or censor. I have about 200 mail items returned with images online. And again, the links are right there in the email. So perhaps we should first verify that my kids are alive, or this is simply theft. What is the best way to proceed? My government is acting viciously towards me. I would suggest very improperly towards me. It was initiated by the woman I love, who turned to the state and abandoned the Lord in our relationship. I will bend over backwards to do whatever I can to reconcile with her. In protecting myself, I hope you see that one of the things, when I read the document, is very clear. I said, okay, there's a threat to my wife. I will not sign that document because there's a threat to my wife. Not a chance. I'm not my wife's enemy. I love her. So, I want to reconcile, you know, and again, with Erica Lee, the atheist. I did send her a postcard recently saying, you know, since I dealt with Julia, since I dealt with Julia, who's become silent, I sent the same request to Erica Lee, can I come see my grandson? And of course her. And of course all I got was silence. But perhaps, you know, The one issue that I point out is, again, I use the Robert Hoagland example. When my kid turns 25 and asks me, "Dad, where were you?" His response is, "I was there. I was trying as hard as I could." Well, I'm here. I'm trying as hard as I can. Do I make mistakes? Yes. Am I trying? Unwaveringly. Do I close the door? Not a chance. If Jack wants to interact with me and all he wants to do is insult me some more, fine. At least I'm communicating with him, because that allows me a chance to show him love. If Jack is reaching out because his life has collapsed, I want to be there to pick up the pieces. I remember I was talking with a Roman Catholic priest in Burlington, North Carolina. He was from, I think we may have been in Greensboro when we met. I don't remember. I mean, we're talking 1980s. It may have been 90s. Probably 1980s. And, you know, this is in a pro-life ministry and so forth. And he said what his job is to pick up the pieces. You see the world collapsing. People are collapsing, you know, especially they abort their child because they think it's the right thing to do, and they find it tears them apart. So he's there. And, you know, again, I would disagree in Roman Catholicism, but I wholeheartedly agree. He goes there and says, "I'm here for you. I want to act as," what did we read recently? "An ambassador to Christ, to parakaleo, to call you near to him." That's, you know, again, I would suggest what he was doing was the right thing in that respect. I'm going to strive to do the same thing to my son, Jack, if that door is opening. If it's not, maybe it'll be next year. Maybe it'll be 5 years from now. You know, again, I've made the promise to my wife to strive to live to be 90, and right now I'm definitely on course. I might not make it to the farmer's market tomorrow because I might be dead, but the odds seem pretty high. So maybe 5 years, 10 years from now, if Jack reaches out, especially if it's my son, Jack, trying to reach out because he has or he's in the process of repenting, I'm wholeheartedly there. If he does not want to repent but wants to reach out for another reason, I'm still there because I'm striving to reflect Christ well because he's my son. You know, again, I don't think anybody in my family will see this. Maybe I should put on a DVD and send it to Jim Cross, because at least it gets there and he probably takes it and throws it in the trash. But at least there, it gets there, as opposed to when I send something to my wife, you know? It comes back. But isn't there a law that says she can't do that? Oh, but that's man's law. We don't have to obey man's law because we're followers of Christ. But we don't have to obey Christ's laws because we're followers of man. Amen. Got to think that one through. There's a problem here, isn't there? Jack, my son. Jack Cross, the former John Joseph Kozlowski III. My son. It doesn't matter what name you use. You're my son. And I'm not going to turn from you. Your lifestyle is vile and disgusting. Your lifestyle reflects someone who is very simply bound for the lake of fire. The Bible is clear with that. But those glorious words, and such were some of you. Maybe that's you, Jack, my son. It doesn't matter if I'm involved or not, but do know, to whatever degree you want me involved, I'm there. I'm not going to deny the truth of the scripture, but I'm there, and I'm not going to deny love to you. You're my son. I love you. And please, if somehow you get this, tell your mom, my wife, I love her and I want her back.